Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. American Family Insurance can help protect your dream home for whatever comes next. You can live in your own oasis or your own clubhouse. Whatever you choose, get the right coverage. Save up to 23% by bundling home and auto. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
It's a beautiful give and take, and being able to help someone and encourage someone else. Sometimes in those moments, you find these beautiful bonds and friendships, and you begin to build your community.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Radically Loved Radio. I wanted to create a place where people can go to get inspired, get motivated, or find some clarity and get tools to create a radically loved life. I will do my best to provide information on a variety of subjects, including yoga, holistic health, life coaching, spirituality, meditation, and overall mindful living. Each episode will bring you some of the world's best spiritual leaders, entrepreneurs, yoga teachers, coaches, along with some of my closest friends, and we will talk about their life experiences and journeys to create something more out of their lives and how they continue to grow to make that happen. Thanks for listening.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, everybody. What? Did I just turn Southern? Right in that
one. A little more gangster.
Oh, yeah, everybody. Hello, everybody. Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Radically Loved Radio. And I'm joined by Tessa, whom a lot of you have gotten to know. You'll really get to know her the minute that we publish our Life Lessons episodes, which are coming up. They should be coming up. I don't know what the holdup on that is. Do you know?
I think we need to put it in the queue.
Oh, shit. Okay. So for those of you just listening to this today for the first time, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. Tessa is basically the director of operations of everything Radically Loved. Radically Loved Radio, Radically Loved Yoga Teacher Training, Radically Loved Life. She is the Radically Loved Guru, I would say. She's a yoga and meditation teacher. She's a health coach. She makes my world go round. So, hey, Tess, just another day in paradise here.
No pressure.
So there's a couple of things. It is October 30th.
28th. Oh, no, you're right. Whoops.
All right. So here's the deal. Literally, it is the 28th, but you are listening to it on the 30th.
Damn it.
That's fine. And we're totally not going to edit this out because we're just not going to. Let's just be honest. It's hard for me. I can't fucking lie to people. It's really difficult. So listen, I tried. Accept my apology. But it is Friday, if you're listening to this. Happy Friday. We are just a couple days out of a historic election that is happening. I'm sure a lot of people are feeling some kind of way. We here at Radically Loved are extremely hopeful and excited that things are going to be quelled in the next couple of weeks. And that, you know, we will, we'll end up being in a good space. I say that with a little bit of fear, but a lot of hope.
Yeah.
What do you think, Tess?
I'm just taking a big deep breath as you say that. And I'm going to continue to do that as the date approaches. I'm like vacillating. I got asked to teach a yoga nidra class that evening, and I'm trying to decide whether I want to watch the election or do something really soothing for myself, like teach yoga nidra.
Yeah, so. I would say the latter. Look, nothing. The thing is, no, you're not going to have an answer on election day,
right?
Yeah. So everybody could just practice some self-care, you know.
Yeah.
I'm really excited about today's guest, though, because
so amazing and so sweet. And you two could be sisters, I swear.
I mean, literally the cutest, most inspirational little ray of sunshine on the planet. Allie Brooke is the author of Finding Your Harmony. And that book was so, oh my God, I was in tears in several different parts, you know, from the beginning when she's talking about her family, from, you know, the moment in her career where she was with her mom at the Oakwood Apartments and being held and just not thinking that this was going to work out for her, to where she was going to different record labels and record labels weren't taking her, and the loss of her cat. I mean, I was just, there was so much in that book that I felt like just, I wanted to hold her and tell her everything was going to be okay. I'm like, oh, I love you. Super sweet. So, so honored to have had her on the show. And yeah, I mean, she is an incredibly talented actress, singer, and I can't wait for you guys to listen to the conversation. What'd you think, Tess? You heard it?
Yeah, she saw is it? So, like I said, so sweet. What I love her connection to her family and her culture. It's so important to her. And it had me thinking about, I related to it in the way that, well, I'm a white girl. If you can't see me, I'm obviously real white, but I'm married to a Mexican man who is lovely. And it just had me thinking about, you know, falling in love with him, but also falling in love with his family and that culture. And it's so warm and inviting and just feeling like, you know, they didn't even really know me, but I just felt like they instantly loved me and enveloped me into their traditions, their family, every holiday. And when I heard Allie speaking about her family and, you know, that just comes through. So it's such a sweet thing.
Yes. Oh, I love that. And yeah, after we finished the conversation, I was telling her how I want to come out to San Antonio to just hang out with her and her family. I think there's, you know, especially in the Mexican culture, it's family is such a staple in the, just the culture, you know, family and that warmth, that nurturing, that is so, for me, it's obviously familiar because that's how I was raised as well. But mm-hmm. As a people, like, they're so loving and so inviting. You know, I've never ever had an experience where another Hispanic family wasn't accepting or open to somebody outside. I mean, even Tori, you know, Tori's white and my family adores him. He cannot speak a lick of Spanish yet. he keeps threatening to learn. I mean, he's been doing his Duolingo, but do you speak Spanish?
I do. I do better, like, the more time I spend with them, obviously. And full disclaimer, it helps if I've had a beer or two.
Oh my God. My tongue. you get really fluent.
Yeah, I get really fluent. Yeah. So I do speak Spanish colloquially. I don't understand everything because my Hispanic family speaks really fast and a lot of slang. They have like their own little language and words for things. And every time I try to say something, my nephew who lives with us, Christopher, who is, he's Mexican also. He's always like, but you can't say that, Tia. It's not a word that a woman should say.
Oh,
or oh, it's boy. Like not appropriate for you to say.
Oh, right. Yeah. Some of those slang words will get you, man.
Yeah.
They'll get you in trouble. Oh, yeah, no, I love that so much. Yeah. And just going back to Allie and her story, it really resonated with me. It stayed, you know, so those of you listening to this right now, we're trying to keep these as real time as possible, you know, as opposed to I recorded podcasts months ago and you're just listening to it now. That's why Tess and I decided that we would do these, you know, fun little intros to tell you about this particular episode and to just give you just a brief update on what's happening in the world, you know? And when I say in the world, I'm not meaning like we are going to be your news source, because we're definitely not that, but I'm saying how we can apply the things that you've learned on this show, on this podcast, especially those of you that have been listening to the show for a long time. How can you apply what you're learning, if you're learning anything, to your life? And I said this 2 weeks ago, but we have these worksheets that you can download on my website. If you go to radicallylove.com, if you go to the podcast, all the episode show notes are there as well. And you can actually download a worksheet to go along as you listen to the episode. Anything of value that was said or any probing questions that you may want to inquire within, they're a really great tool for that. So if you're wanting to utilize this podcast more as a place to learn new things, then I totally invite you to do that. I think it'd be really great. That's how I like to listen to podcasts when I listen, if it's not a murder mystery or like a, you know, what is the other one that I listen to? Oh my God, I can't think of the name right now. It's not the crime American. Oh my God, what is it called? This American Life.
This American Life. Is yes. It an NPR or
yes
production?
Yep. Yeah. And actually, my old road buddy Brent Williams is the one that got me hooked on that. So I listen to that occasionally too. But they're all very insightful. What else, Tess? What else do you have? I was going to go off on a tangent and I'm like, nope, keep it in. You're good.
Well, actually Allie's episode had me thinking of this too. And also the season that we're in, superstitions. And there's so many superstitions that I've learned from my mother-in-law.
tell us, we love these.
And maybe this isn't the right word, superstitions, but I kind of lump it into that category. But so she believes that, and I was curious what you thought of this, Rosie, if you'd heard this too. If you are barefoot standing on a cold floor,
you'll get a cold
refrigerator, you will get shocked.
Have you heard that? What?
Yeah, no. That's what Jorge says.
Have you tried it?
I have tried it and I didn't get shocked, but he says when he does it, he gets shocked.
Oh my God. No, I thought that it's like, with bare feet, you're not supposed to walk with bare feet because you'll get a cold.
Too. Yeah.
And then, you know, Mexican families love to rub vapor rub all over your entire body whenever you think you're going to have a cold.
My mother-in-law uses rubbing alcohol. She's done that to me before when I get sick.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. She like literally rubs my whole body with rubbing alcohol.
Oh, interesting.
And then I smell.
And then you smell like you smell very sanitized.
Yeah.
That's awesome. No, you know, one of the superstitions, and I've shared this with you guys during teacher training, is that you're not supposed to burn Palo Santo before sage. Mm. I'm doing a show and tell here if you're watching the video. You're supposed to burn sage first because this is warding off the bad energy. And then the Palo Santo is bringing the good energy in. So I don't know that that's so much a superstition then.
I put it in that category.
I guess so. Oh, here's one little superstition that I have. When I travel, I always kick the airplane 3 times with my foot.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where that came from. It's almost like God is, you know, like it's a blessing from God. Like just tap it 1, 2, 3, tap it 3 times so that you don't have to worry about the airplane going down.
Mm, well, that's good. We don't want it to go down.
Is that a little bit morbid?
I mean, I think it's important to, when you get onto an airplane, have something that makes you feel, okay, I'm safe.
Yeah.
I'm gonna make it.
Actually, to quote the very wise rapper, this is so not, 50 Cent actually said this during an interview with Oprah and whatever. 50 Cent is cool and everything. I'm not a 50 Cent fan, but I'm more, you know, West Coast hip hop artist lover. But anyway, whatever. No East Coast, West Coast beef here. But 50 Cent did say, he talked about getting on an airplane and saying either pray or worry, but don't do both, right? So either you're praying or you're going to have faith, right? You can't do both. You can't have faith and say, okay, I believe that, you know, everything's going to be fine, that my airplane's being guided by divine presence, by God, and it's going to land safely. And then the minute you feel turbulence is like, oh, I'm going to pray, you know?
Mm, I love that. That's great. Yeah.
Go on. You have one more superstition.
Yes. So you know how cupping's become so popular lately with Michael Phelps and his swimming back and all of that? You know, talking about cupping?
Yes. So I like cupping.
I do too. It feels amazing. But the first way it was introduced to me was bentosas, which is, have you heard of this? So it's the form of cupping with flame, and bentosas, I don't actually know what that means in Spanish. This is what my mother-in-law calls it. So they believe that if you have air that gets trapped in your back,
oh yeah,
you suck it out with the flame from the candle. So yes. Jorge will have me, Jorge is my husband's name, will have me put copper. They use copper.
Yep. And then
drip candle wax, light the flame, which I burned his back here a couple of times. Be careful with it. Don't try this at home. It's very dangerous.
Don't.
And then I put a cup over it, and the flame will go out because of the oxygen's being deprived, and then the skin will get sucked up into the cup just like you would if you were getting cupped.
Yeah.
And so they don't believe that it's due to like a muscle spasm. They believe that it's due to air coming into your back. So Jorge will not sleep without a shirt.
Interesting.
He'll wear a shirt when he's sleeping.
That's really interesting. Yes, that I never actually knew what it was called. My grandma would do it all the time on her belly button, like on her belly. And she would do it to me sometimes, but she would put, well, I'm not going to describe it. I don't want anybody to try this at home. Don't try this at home. But she would do something similar on her tummy. So this is really interesting. Mm-hmm. On that note, I'm really excited to have you guys listen to this episode because again, it was such an inspiring and just fun conversation. Allie is just a joy. And this girl is a star. This girl is a star. The minute that I laid eyes on her, I just, you know, certain people just have that star quality, you know?
Yeah.
She has that presence. She has that thing. And I cannot wait to see her on the big screen. I can't wait to just see her career continue to blossom and grow because I think that she will achieve incredible things. With that being said, on this episode today, Friday the 30th, it's still Thursday. Here is Allie Brooke. Yes. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Radically Loved Radio. I am so beyond excited for our guest today. Probably, and I can say this, and I apologize for my last 300 guests plus, but I think this is literally going to be my favorite episode of all time because our guest today, I don't even think she needs an introduction. She is an incredibly talented singer, actress, and the new best-selling author of Finding Your Harmony. We have Allie Brooke in the house. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Oh my gosh, you are so sweet. Girl, the pressure's on for me. I better make sure it's your best interview ever.
You know, and here's what we were talking about just before we started. I read your book cover to cover, and it's for me because there's so many similarities that I was able to relate to in your journey and your experience, you know, having also grown up in a Mexican-American household. I'm first gen, so my parents, you know, immigrated from Mexico. Oh, and yes, and so, you know, reading
even just the beginning of the story, I was like in tears just with you, the dedication for your mom and everything that you talk about. I mean, so much of what this book is about resilience, and it's about faith, and it's about staying the course. So thank you so much for being here.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much. That means the world to me. And the fact that you resonated to my book and you valued, you know, just my family, and you understand being a Mexican American, and just everything that you said. Thank you so much. It's so true. I've had to persevere my whole life and to hold on to my faith when things were, you know, incredible and I was feeling this victory and these victorious moments, but also when things were very hard and when the world tried to strip me of who I was and any sort of light that I had in me. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Yes. I mean, even just in the beginning, well, first of all, I've been a fan of you and for a while. And so it's so interesting because the things that I didn't know, you know, obviously like I'm in the world of like yoga and meditation, you know, so I don't really keep up with too many, you know, media or pop topics or anything like that, you know, but I just know that you're right. I just know that your voice and your music really resonated with me because I was always able to just feel how much soul there was there. And I'm like, I can literally get emotional just thinking about it because, and in your book, you talk about how Selena was and is your number one idol, Selena Quintanilla.
Yes.
And when I first heard you and saw you, those were the vibes that I got. I said, man, this girl really reminds me of Selena.
That means the whole world to me because she's my hero and I've been inspired by her since I was a young girl in diapers, literally in diapers, singing her song. And at such a young age, just looking at her and saying that, wow, I want to be like her, you know, someone like me, looks like me, you know, Mexican-American woman.
Yeah.
Oh, and reach her dreams and impact so many people. It's just incredible.
Yeah. Yes. You have such a warrior spirit. I mean, from, you know, the moment of your birth and being a premature baby and growing up, always having that sort of tenacity and that warrior spirit, that spontaneity. To me, on our journey and in our life journey, you know, one of the things that I always talk about and I think about is the things that fuel us to get to a place of dreaming big, which is a lot of, again, what you write about. For you, that fueling of your dream is stemmed from your faith and your belief that you're being cared for, that you're being radically loved, as I like to say, that you're being cared for. What is the thing for you, even in writing your story, that still has left the biggest impression from your journey when you were a young girl?
Ooh, I think that moment in Oakwood Apartments with my mom. When I felt so out of place, you know, being from San Antonio to Los Angeles, 12 years old, just not feeling good enough, not feeling pretty enough, not feeling cool enough. I just had this moment where I was alone, you know, with my mom, trying to make a dream happen. It was much harder than I thought. And, you know, it was very hard on my family. And not having friends yet at that point and looking like an outsider, feeling like an outsider, seeing all the cool kids, you know, with their friends. And I clearly wasn't part of that. Just having that moment of crying in that apartment. I'll never forget that single story, whatever it's called, the one room apartment, you know, just crying my eyes out with my mom and saying, "Mom, I'll never be good enough. I'll never be pretty enough. I'll never be cool enough." And her crying with me and just feeling that. And then out of that was a very, very hard day. And like I say in my book, it was one of my mom's hardest days as a parent. But out of that, after that, that hard night, Beauty for Ashes, the next day, I wrote my very first song called Be You, and like a love letter to myself, encouraging myself to be myself, to not change, to not become anyone else. And that was such a moment that still impacts me to this day. And those words that that 12-year-old wrote, "Don't you dare turn into someone else. You know that that's not you. Do you really want to be like that? So go ahead and be yourself. If they don't like you, surely someone else will." Yeah. So go ahead and be you. Those words resonate with me today.
They resonated with me. I mean, like, you went straight to the story that had me in tears, because I've felt that. I've gone through that myself. And look, even growing up in, I grew up in LA. Like, this is part of, you know, my growing up in this world. Granted, I wasn't in the entertainment industry, but I, you know, had moments, you know, as a child, when you're young and you grow up in LA, it's like everybody wants to go to the auditions and do the things. And I remember there was one audition that my mom, I'm 10 years older than you, by the way. We're both summer babies. I'm 83, you're 93. So,
girl, you literally look my age. That's so crazy.
It's all the yoga and meditation. Like, that's and the prayer. Oh my God, please keep me healthy. But so my mom ended up taking my sister and I to go be, they were auditioning for extras for the Power Rangers.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome. Iconic. Yeah. I mean, wow.
Right? But right was... So, and when I got there, when we got there, it was in Universal Studios, and I remember just feeling so out of place, because I'm in this line of all these kids and everybody's got it. When you're talking about the clothes and what people were wearing, and like, I had these dirty sneakers and I wasn't, you know, I had my hair up, but I just, in that instant, like, I didn't think that I was different from anybody else until all of a sudden I was lined up in front of people that were judging me, that point out that how different you are, right? So yeah, I think that was such a pivotal moment in your story, right? Where you're kind of coming to this realization that I don't look like everybody else here. I don't have what they have, even though, you know, your parents did their best and your mom's like, you know, styling you from, you know, Marshalls and like all the things, you know. I was just like, girl, this is my life. Amazing. But I really think that, you know, in those moments, especially for you having such awareness and writing that song right after having that, I would say, breaking point. How many girls out there and boys too have that moment where they just stop? That's the end of their dream.
Yes. And that's, you know, in that moment, you can feel so alone and you can feel so discouraged. And it really does break your heart, because, you know, as a young child, you should just be enjoying your life, enjoying being a kid, you know, and not feeling all this insecurity and all this. These feelings of, oh my gosh, I'm not good enough, or my clothes don't look like their clothes, or my teeth are crooked and I'm not pretty because they have perfect teeth, you know. But in that's why this book is so important to me. It's one of the most important things to me, because this is my chance to show all those little girls and little boys who feel that way, who felt that way, that you can get through those hard nights, that you're not alone, that it's normal to feel that way, no matter who you are, no matter where you come from. And out of your pain can come something beautiful, like a song. It doesn't even have to be a song. It could be a poem. It could be a realization within yourself. It could be inspiration for whatever you choose for it to be. And you can learn from those moments and pick yourself back up and move forward in life and choose to move forward, choose to not stay there. That's my hope, you know, through this book and those lessons like that, is to take what I learned. I know I'm still so young, but just to take what I learned and give this advice to these kids who need it, especially now more than ever. That's my wish, is for them to know that there is hope and you're not alone, and it's normal to feel all these things. But again, you can come out of it stronger.
Yes. Oh, I love that so much. It's so true. There was another pivotal moment, I think, when you turned 18 and you're again faced with this crossroads. It's like, okay, I'm here now. Am I going to continue this path? Nothing's happened yet. And I think a lot of us can relate to those crossroads, because I'm 37. I mean, it still happens to me now, where you're working really hard for something and, you know, and maybe you're not seeing the fruits of your efforts yet. So what do you have to say for the people out there who have all these dreams and aspirations, especially now, like it's 2020, we're going through a lot right now. And by the way, it was so refreshing to just read your story during this time, because I felt like it really is true to what we're going through, this adversity that we're feeling, you know, the things that we're having to overcome. The people listening right now that are at a crossroads with their career, they've lost their job, or they're feeling like their career has been on a standstill because of what's going on and they're losing hope. What would you say to them?
Oh man, well, I can certainly relate, as you know, because I have had many of those moments, you know, just moments of rejection, moments of all the doors closing and there was not another one to go through that I thought, and moments where I felt like I'm hopeless, you know. I write about being on the floor crying and getting mad at God and being like, why did you allow this to happen? Or why is this not happening? Or, oh my gosh, I feel like one of the themes in my book is almost, things almost happen, things almost come together. And that's even more devastating because you're so close. And then bam, something sweeps you under your rug. What I've learned in my life, in my short little life, is that even though we have those moments and we feel in such despair, in such hopelessness, we're helpless, it feels like nothing or no one can help us, I can't believe that I got through everything that happened to me in my life. Everything from career stuff to even, you know, stuff in my family. I talk about my uncle, how he was diagnosed with cancer, and that just wrecked us as a family. And it was right while I was, you know, at the height of beginning my solo career last year. And it was so much to balance, you know, that grief and that anger and that confusion, but he got healed from it. That was a miracle that I saw. And then even my grandpa, before he passed away, I had never thought that my grandpa and my mom would ever reconcile. I had made peace with, that's just not going to happen in this lifetime. But then it's so beautiful that happened, and it leaves you changed. It really does. It leaves you changed in this final days. That happened, and I'm so happy to share his story. I'm so honored. But anyways, just believing and persevering and not giving up. That's what I would say to someone who's feeling hopeless and lost right now, is please don't give up. I know it's hard. I know it seems like you'll never see the light again and you don't know how you're going to overcome this time, but you will. I promise you, you will. You are so much stronger than you think, and the best is yet to come.
I love that so much. You know, one of the things that I did admire so much about your family unit, your organism, is how united and how connected everybody was. And to me, that's one of the things that I love about Hispanic and Latin cultures is that, you know, I think you said it's family, faith, food, and love, right? Yeah. And so,
you know it so well. It's so amazing for me.
Yeah, to me, again, we were kind of talking about this before, but it kind of gets under my skin when people interview people when they're on a circuit and they haven't read their story. I'm like, you're just going to ask the questions that everybody else is asking. And to me, that's just like, I just don't. It's like a waste of somebody's time. It's like, I think it's important because it's such a big deal to write a book. I'm in the middle of writing a book myself right now.
Gosh, congratulations, thank girl. You. Oh, I know. Girl, I know all the struggles.
I know
all the emotions. Girl, don't give up. I almost did. Don't give up.
I'm literally, seriously, and I'm gonna try and keep it together and not get emotional right now, but literally, I'm in this process and I'm just like, it's really hard, you know, to share your story. And the fact that I'm going through that and then I'm like, okay, I'm just going to take a break. And then your book arrives and I'm like, oh, I'm going to read. This looks good. I'm going to read this. I love her. I love her music. And that it just opened me up and I was like, okay, I can do this, you know?
Praise the Lord. Seriously. Yes, you can. I know that feeling. I mean it. I, many nights, called my parents. I had to do overnights, you know, being like 12 in the afternoon to like 4 in the morning, just exhausted, grueling, agonizing, and just digging deep and reliving those memories. It's incredible. It's an incredible amount to take on as a human and a woman. So don't be discouraged. Keep on going, girl. It's amazing what you can do under pressure and really push yourself. I swear I had those moments. I called my manager, I called my parents, like, mom and dad, I can't do this. I quit.
Yeah.
Mama, no. Breathe, take a minute, take a beat, take a few hours, but you got a job to do and you made a promise and you've got it.
And I signed a contract.
and plus beyond that, just knowing within yourself.
Yeah.
Just important. You can't live without knowing that this.
Well, right. And so, okay. So knowing that before I deviated, sorry, I'm like, here's Allie's giving me mindfulness tips now. We've reversed roles.
I know the struggle.
Right.
And it's really like, you can do it. It seems impossible. Trust me. Again, I know the feeling of just being like, oh my God, I want to quit. Go home.
Yes.
Please. Another word again. And again, you'll know. Like, you'll know if you need to, if you do need to wait. You'll know if you do need to push back. I actually push back a lot in my book. There's like 4 different dates that finally came out. But anyways, girl.
But so going back to what I was saying, because I know how much it takes to create something like this, I'm a person, if I'm going to have somebody on the show, if I'm going to bring them to our audience and all of you listening, you know, I love you and I'm going to be completely honest and upfront with everybody. Like I know how much work it is to complete a work like this. And so I want to honor that time, you know? So I think that, you know, for the podcasts out there, the podcasters out there who are interviewing people, like read their book, like don't just have them on because you think whatever, you think it's popular, they're doing the circuit, like actually read, this is a person and this is a story. Like it's such an important thing for us to actually give the time to change our perspective and to find how we are more alike than how we are not. You know, I think that's a big thing that we're going through right now, right? Is a lot of our differences are are sort of being used against us, right? We're looking to see how different we are as opposed to how alike we are and how our stories are so similar.
Right. You said it perfectly. And I appreciate you saying that. Again, I appreciate you reading my book because it's like, I didn't do all this for nothing. And it's so, I mean, it's the most personal thing, the most just soul bearing thing you can really do is a book, because it's all in there, you know? And the fact that you have taken the time and you've respected and you've really, you've read it and you, you've loved it and cared for it. It just means more than words, really, it does. So thank you for—
Oh, of course.
All the tears, all the blood, all the pain, all the beauty, you know, it's worth it. Because
you know, oh my God, Zoom, dear Zoom, we're going to do this in person the next time. Just saying.
Yes.
So we, you know, in the beginning, I was going back to how things always start. That's how I like to process any issues or when I'm struggling with something, I'm like, okay, why am I here? Right. And I look at that with other people and their own stories. And, you know, I'm a yoga teacher and I teach meditation and I work with a lot of people. And I always say, okay, what are your roots? Where are you coming from? Let's find out like what's your why? What is your reason for? And for you, you know, I just kept going back and falling into the cocoon of your incredible parents, you know, and the sacrifice that they made. And again, you writing about it and how in hindsight, it's always 20/20, right? When you're a young kid, you don't really realize, you realize it and you know your parents love you, but you don't realize the level of sacrifice, know, until you look back. And so that to me is so reassuring, you know, like I had incredible parents as well. My dad is still a mariachi singer. And yes.
That's wonderful. That is like, that is such a part of me. That's like one of the last things, okay, not to get super deep, but one of the last things I want to hear when I, you know, when I'm supposed to go to heaven is body, like, that's just right there in the heart. That's my grandma's favorite, you know, my parents' favorite, my aunt's favorite, my favorite.
And I love the way that you describe the music that you grew up with, you know, just really reminded me of that. But also my dad had a super talented, I mean, extremely talented, still is to this day. So passionate, so much heart, you know, and he really sings his soul. Mm. And he gave up his dream to raise his family, you know? And to me, it's just like, as a grown up, I would always think, God, Dad, like, why didn't you just go for your dream? Like, why didn't you? And he would say, you know, because I wanted to be with you guys. Like, I wanted to be present in your guys' life. And to me, I think like, you know, you should have had a career instead of being with us. But in a way, you know, what he's saying is that I gave up my dream so that you guys could have yours, you know?
Girl, you're going to make me cry. Yes, that is, that's parents for you. And that's, that hits me right here because my parents are the same, you know? I write about how they gave up their dream home property for me. That's their dream home. They worked their whole lives. They got out of hard times and, you know, they were raised, you know, poor. And they did that. They had the chance to have it all. But they did that to support me and my dream. And that's something that is priceless and the most beautiful type of love and sacrifice. And it's just, it goes beyond words. And that's why this book is so important to me, because for the first time, I get to tell their story and shine a light on how incredible they are, because they deserve the world. And God bless your dad, because I know it's not an easy road. That's not an easy decision, but parents do it and they say that they'll do it again because they love us so much. Such a deep love that goes beyond comprehension.
I'm curious, what would your dad and your mom say about your success today?
Oh my gosh. They are overjoyed, over the moon, beyond thankful, beyond proud. They, I just actually talked to my dad earlier and my parents, we talk every single day. And they just cannot believe what has come to pass, you know, cause it's not about me. It's not like, oh, I get to be on that stage and it's just me. No, like I get to be on that stage, of course, for myself and my dreams and what I've, you know, done my whole life and wanted my whole life. But for them, like, it's not a me, it's a we. In every victory, in every triumph, we get to celebrate it together. And that's honoring my parents and what they did and my brother. It's unbelievable. They're so proud and so happy to finally see me find my harmony. You know, as easy as it is, I had to say it. Just so unbelievably happy and just thankful because we have been through hell and back.
Yeah.
Few years. And when you finally get to a place where you see the light and it's shining on you, you feel that warmth out of being in dark and in cold for so long. It's phenomenal. And I owe it all to them. I owe everything to my parents.
Oh my God. That's like so okay. I want to have a daughter just like you. I want to have a daughter. She's going to be just like you. If not, then.
You're so sweet.
Maybe I'll just.
You're a lot better than me because I'm nothing.
No, so. you're amazing. So let's go. Let's just talk about this process that just to give the listeners back home fun to do. Because in the story, I think you talk about how if you don't have the help or the support that you need, go help somebody or be the support for somebody else.
Yes.
Right?
That is so important. You know, a lot of us are trying to find our community, you know, our people, mm-hmm. Those who will empower us and uplift us. And sometimes it doesn't come so easy. I've always had the most amazing friends back at home in San Antonio, not including them, as far as, you know, in LA and, you know, kind of figuring it all out. I've only recently found my group of people and, you know, it's a beautiful give and take, and being able to help someone and encourage someone else. Sometimes in those moments, you find these beautiful bonds and friendships and you begin to build your community. It's hard to find friends. It's hard, you know, and I've learned that the hard way, you know, and I've had to learn some lessons and not to sometimes be so open at first or to be so trusting because people don't always have the best
intentions.
Mm-hmm. But what I figured out is that, you know, when you're there for other people, beautiful things can happen, and that could lead to such a beautiful road of friendships and relationships. And so encouraging people to be kind to one another, to be loving, to be caring, to be thoughtful, to be intentional with your interactions with people. I swear that could change lives and change the world. So that's what I love to share with my readers, you know, is that whether you have a wonderful community or you're just finding it, always being there to help people is something that's so amazing and could really help you find your path.
Oh, that's such great advice, especially for a lot of people that have been isolated this year because of, you know, what's been going on with coronavirus. People have been isolated maybe from their friends or from their opportunity to go out and meet new people. I mean, I know a handful of people here in LA that just moved to LA and then coronavirus.
Stuff is shut down. And like, nothing to do. Sucks.
Yeah. So, and for you, like, you know, the book is out, you're on this circuit promoting your book, talking about, you know, your process, your story, your life. What is this year been like for you, and how have you overcome whatever adversity you've gone through?
This year has been dynamic, to say the least. So I started off it being incredible, and I read about it in my book about, you know, starting off the New Year's Rose Bowl parade. Remember that? You know, just New Year's when we were all excited and ringing in the year. And so I was doing that, and I was doing a bunch of other things. And then I did, I was preparing for my first ever headlining solo tour that I worked my whole life for, that I just, man, one of my biggest dreams in life to finally come true after over 15 years of pursuing a solo dream. And I had 4 dates, and it was going incredible. And I was just on this beautiful trajectory in my career for the first time. And it was just sensational. And then sadly, you know, Corona hit the world, this pandemic, and it changed so many people's lives. And it definitely impacted mine, you know, just starting out again, that almost starting out and 4 days in, I had like so many more dates and cities to go to.
Yeah.
All shut down, and it's like pause, you know, like no, you have to go home. It was awful. I was so devastated. I remember crying that morning on the bus, crying before I met my fans for my last show, and then just crying for a long time actually after I went back to LA. But I got through that, you know. I somehow, you know, picked myself up, you know. I had faith, you know, that one day I'll be back on that stage and those things will resume again. And it's been a lot of ups and downs, you know, feeling lonely, feeling scared, feeling nervous, feeling anxiety, kind of confronted with a lot of issues that I've been putting off for several years. Mm. But at the same time, it was a blessing to be able to have rest during this time for once and be with my cats.
Yes.
And be able to catch up with old friends and to be able to have time to nurture so many relationships and friendships, and then also my creativity. And so after getting through that funk and, you know, still being up and down, it's not easy. I've been able to create so much more music. I was able to create a music video, and I'm actually in Atlanta shooting my very first film. So I'm definitely taking the blessings. Thank you.
Hold on. Wait for it.
Buddy, thank you. I am trying to take the blessings, and I mean, definitely just soaking that all in and being thankful, being so thankful. What matters the most is family, and they're all healthy, praise God, and safe. And then, you know, just taking these blessings and taking them in is everything. Gratitude's everything during this time. So
yes. Well, and one of the last things that I want to ask you about, and I literally can talk to you for hours, and I haven't asked you any of the questions that I had prepared.
That's the beauty of this. And you are just making me feel so loved and cared for and special. And thank you so much, and comfortable and safe. You are amazing, girl. And
you are amazing.
I literally could talk to you for like 5 hours.
I know. That's so great. Okay, but I want to be respectful of your time, and you're shooting a movie, so let's be respectful of that. One of the last things that I wanted to ask you about has to do with your unwavering faith, and throughout the book, it's such a beautiful display of commitment, you know, and I really admire that, and I'm so inspired by that. Because when we get to this place, and this is for everybody, you know, whatever your spiritual path looks like, whatever your belief is, I think it's important for us to lean into that place, that energy, that spirit that's going to get you into a state of wholeness. Mm-hmm. And in the book, as you talk about God, you talk about your faith, it's like, oh, wow, this is falling apart. Oh, right. But now God has a plan. And it's like, oh, right, now this is happening. What do I do? Oh, right. God has a plan, you know? So, you know, for the people that are listening that are maybe feeling like that moment you felt like when you were on the floor crying, asking WTF?
Out loud, the whole thing.
What do you have to say to the people listening who are maybe struggling right now because they've seen a lot of the negative stuff go on in the media, in their homes, maybe in their personal life?
Man, I would say, just like you said, is that to hold on tight is to have faith. That is what has carried me through my entire life, you know, dealing with pretty much everything you can imagine. I even left some stuff out of the book, some really awful things that happened to me. Gosh, I know what that feels like when you're heartbroken and you just feel so alone. You almost don't feel like real. You feel numb, you feel cold, and you feel isolated. Just know, just hold on tight. God has a plan for you in your life. And sometimes we have to endure the storm. We have to endure the desert. But many times God will just take care of you and he will get you out of that place. And knowing that you have so much strength inside of yourself, sometimes we need to be tested, you know, like a muscle. If you want to grow, you have to have that pain. And there's so much to come and so much life to live. And everyone is in this together, this season of pain and hurt and questioning. And for me, what's made me feel better is knowing that I'm not alone. And then knowing that, again, God has the final say and has my back. And sometimes we need time to understand why certain things happened or just to at least heal. But know that you have so much inside of yourself that can get through anything, that you're powerful, you're brave. It's okay to cry. It's okay to question. It's also okay to be strong and to try to be positive and to feel the way that you want to feel. But just know that there is a plan, that you will see the rising sun again, that there is hope in the midst of so much darkness. Please let that sink into your heart and hold on to that even in your toughest days. He's got you under his wings.
I don't even know. I don't have anything else to say to that. We're getting to the last final moments. Thank you. That's so beautiful.
Thank you.
It's almost like that. It's just, it's such a complete feeling when you can rest in your faith and know that this is happening for you, right? Mm-hmm. Everything is happening for you.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's it. Hold on to that for you.
Yes. You've done hundreds, if not thousands, of interviews in your entire career.
That's actually great.
Yeah. What's something that you wish that somebody would ask you that they haven't?
I love everything that you're saying and just really highlighting and taking it back to my family and highlighting and acknowledging their sacrifices, how strong they are and just how amazing they are. That's like my goal, you know, and that's awesome when people can do that because there's always, you know, someone's in front of the curtain, but there's so many people behind the curtain,
yeah,
you know, helping to make everything come together and to make that little person, you know, shine. So that is awesome whenever they ask me about my family, or even just say how awesome they are. That means more to me than words.
Yes. Oh, I love them. I love them so much. I love you and I love them so much. I literally love everybody.
About this interview and about what you said, they're going to be so happy. They're going to love it so much.
Hey, Pam. I can't wait to come to San Antonio so you guys can make me some delicious food.
Oh, girl, it is on. Whenever you can come, please let me know and you will have the best time ever. Okay. Literally, it'll be music and the best food and so much fun and laughter and craziness.
Oh, my goodness. Allie, you are so incredible. I have one final question.
Yes, girl.
I know that you're like, whatever you want. I keep saying, this is the final, this is it, this is it. I just love her. What am I supposed to do? She's great. Okay. So I started this podcast as a way for people to truly, I mean, the reason why I started practicing yoga is because I was a teenager getting into trouble with the law, and I kind of went the opposite way. That's what I'm saying. I'm like, oh, Ellie was like the perfect child. I mean, I know you weren't, but you know what I'm saying. I was like the kid. I was like the little Hispanic girl that was getting in trouble with the law and like getting arrested and stuff. But anyway, again, LA. So I yoga and meditation really helped get me on the path, you know, and you know, even though we were raised with a very, you know, strong family, strong faith, it was just what I needed to just feel in my body and feel empowered. Right.
Yes.
And so I started this podcast. I mean, I started teaching yoga because I wanted to bring these practices to communities that didn't have access to it. Right. Or that felt like, oh, yoga is for rich people or, you know, yeah. kind of thing.
Totally.
So that was what spawned this whole process. And I started Radically Loved because I believe that we are radically loved by God, source, higher power, spirit, whatever it is, your higher power, that we are radically loved and radically supported. So my final question to you is two parts. The first one is, how do you feel radically loved? And what or who do you radically love?
Oh, man. There's so many ways I feel radically loved, but honestly, one really special way is when I'm just like at home in my quiet space, not with social media, not with anything, and just like really soaking in the quiet and reflecting and just remembering how loved I am, you know, by God and valued and how my life matters and just absorbing that, you know, even if I'm just like in my bed waking up and just kind of being quiet and just like praying and looking up, that's when I feel radically loved. And I want to pass it on to others. You are radically loved, you are valued, your life matters, you are special. I hope someone can truly take that in today. Also, who do I radically love? Well, of course, my family. I mean, we all know that. But besides them, man, my fans, they support me and love me so much. They give me confidence. They give me security. They have my back. They literally love me no matter what. I could just have like no makeup on and I would think like, oh, I look crazy. Or, oh my gosh, my skin or my eye or whatever. And they're like, no, you're beautiful. And just beyond that, they see me for me. They appreciate my personality, my heart, my story, the music that means so much to me. They make me feel radically loved. And they've, you know, they say I touch their lives and I change their lives, but they change mine. I mean, look where I am today. I would not be here without them supporting me in, you know, Fifth Harmony, and especially now. It's beautiful, and I feel like I'm at a time where I'm finally embracing who I am, and it's because of my family and God and my friends, but my fans. They teach me to love myself, so I love you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I am so honored and privileged to have had this opportunity to have you on, to have had the privilege of and the honor of reading your story. And I am a huge fan, and I cannot wait to see what more you continue to create in your life, because it's going to be so incredibly big. And I'm so, so grateful for you. Thank you.
Oh my gosh, girl, the feeling is mutual. Thank you so much for this beautiful, impactful interview. It really just brought me so much joy. Thank God, bless you, girl.
Oh.
And you're dead.
Hey everyone, I hope you enjoyed this episode. I am so excited to continue to do this. Please share this with your friends. Email us, message us on Instagram at Rosie Acosta or on Twitter at Rosie Acosta. Subscribe on iTunes, write a review. We love doing this, so please help us continue to keep this podcast going. Thanks for listening.